Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. Time right now is about 7 p.m. in Texas, and I'd like to get a few housekeeping items out of the way right quick, and we'll get started with the show. And as always, I'd like to issue this disclaimer. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. And also, this show, to capitalize this show fundamentally, it addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in the communities can increase their ability to acquire more income, and in addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests, all these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format, hopefully. There will be musical segments on occasion, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, we really have a fundamental focus on our youth. And if you have any information or interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society, please, and reassessing the significance of spiritual impact in the community, also investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many other pertinent topics too numerous to mention, please join us right here on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And you can give us a call at 347-945-7040. And if you have a guest or you have an issue that you'd like to hear discussed, you can contact me at blakicz, blackice.1, blackice.1@gmail.com. Just let us know, and we'll do the best we can to accommodate your desires and or needs. And I believe my brother's calling through, my Texas brother. Let me see if that's him right here. Brother T.L. Harris, is that you?
Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, man, that's. I'd like to introduce the audience to my dear friend that I've met online, and I really have a tremendous admiration and I really appreciate this gentleman. He's a very informative, information-packed individual, and we address some issues and in regard to the entertainment industry. Now, Brother T.L. Harris, give me one little sec, because I want to really promote the issue of voting November the 2nd, on or before, because this is one of the most pivotal elections that's ever going to take place, well, that's taken place in my 58 years. And I think it's essential that we each find the impetus, the determination and commitment and the focus to make it to our polling places and vote. And, of course, I'm sure you all know who I support, the president of the United States of America and his party. So with that said, Brother T.L. Harris, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. What's happening around the metro? Is it cooling down up there around the metro, Texas Rangers area?
It is. It's a nice cool day, not too hot, not too cold. Very enjoyable today.
Wonderful. What do you think about our Rangers, brother?
Well, I'm hoping they pull it out today. I'm really rooting for them. You know, I mean, it's been a long. Well, we've never had this before up here in Arlington, so
50 years.
So
isn't it?
Exciting time here, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I would like to get to see one of those games, but strong possibility that I will not get a chance to. But I guarantee you, being out here in the west part of Texas, I'm going to celebrate just as hard as you guys down there around the metro. You can be sure of that.
Oh, man, when they pull this thing out, I will be in downtown Arlington at 3. You can bet your bottom dollar on it.
I know, that's right. Hey, yeah. Brother, how you doing? What you got up your sleeve tonight? Have we got any interesting information in the entertainment industry this week?
Well, there's one thing I would definitely like to do.
Okay.
There was a gentleman that I've mentioned on your show several times.
Yes, sir.
A gentleman by the name of Walter McDougal from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
And his importance in the sound of Philadelphia getting that whole scene together, and his importance at Motown promoting all the records.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, I told you last time I was on your show that he was ill, and unfortunately, last Friday he passed away.
Oh man, my, you know,
and,
condolences to the family.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know,
I would like to express that as well. I've had the chance to speak to his son and his family, who are wonderful people.
Right.
And to make it such a bittersweet day for those who knew and loved Weldon, such as myself and many other people, today would have been his 74th birthday.
Wow, 74.
We would have been 74
wow.
today. So you know, those, and this is what I can say. If you want to remember Weldon, who to me is an unsung hero because of everything that he's done, go play Yes, I'm Ready by Barbara Mason, and I'll tell you why. Weldon McDougal was the one that actually co-wrote and produced that record for her.
Oh, okay.
Back in 1965, and he also produced, for those that remember, several years later, her album, I'm Your Woman, She Is Your Wife.
Okay.
For those that remember that. And he had his hand in quite a bit, and he was also the man that promoted the majority of hits that you love from Motown. He was the one that took all those songs to the DJs around the country and made those songs hits. So when
wow.
you listen to Jimmy Mac by Martin mm-hmm. the Vandellas, or mm-hmm. Baby, I Need Your Lovin' by the Four Tops, or I'll Be Doggone by Marvin Gaye, or even
right.
What's Going On by Marvin Gaye,
wow.
he was the guy that took those records to every DJ in the country and got those records played and made those records number one across the country.
Wow.
So he was a very distinct individual, wonderful, wonderful person to know that would do anything for you if he possibly could,
mm-hmm.
and I was proud to call him friend. So I will miss him greatly. I will miss him terribly.
Right.
But the best thing I can do is to make sure that his legacy continues in people that he's entrusted it with the great stories that he's told over the years. So
right.
My hat's off to Mr. Weldon Arthur McDougal III.
You know, I tell you, brother, you know that you have a standing invitation. So, you know, we whatever that you feel that we can do to assist you in commemorating commemorating the legacy of Mr. McDougal, just please allow me to you know, be associated with that effort, because you know, when you say that. What it brings to my mind is that, you know, there has been a tremendous abundance of talent, you know, that has been suppressed. And I think that were there an environment that would allow it, there would be so many more individuals who would have come forth and displayed, you know, monumental talents that maybe we haven't seen yet. And when you listen to someone of you know, this type of an integrity that's willing to almost anonymously go around and ensure that other people are successful. I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. And I mean, you know, that is tremendous, and I really appreciate that. I just saw my dear sister come in the room, Sister India Declare, IndiaDeclair, and yeah, brother, if you just pardon me just for a second to do this, I have to. She's just a beautiful person. If you get a chance, Brother Teal Harris, every day Monday through Saturday at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. Sister India Declare has her show on, and she has that phone line open, and she always has some very stimulating topics, and we can give her a call at any time, and I am so grateful to her and to have met her, and she is to me, you know, on a level that is similar to, you know, that same type of level that Brother William, did you say, Weldon McDougal is on.
Well, right.
you know, people who almost anonymously, well, not really, you know, I can't think of the word that I want to employ here, but you know, they don't need to shine in order to make others shine. And that's what, you know, you can appreciate about people with those kinds of hearts. And like I say, my dear sister, Miss India DeClaire, if you get a chance, check her out. But you know, Brother Teal Harris, like I say, this man, you know, those were difficult times. There was no internet, right?
No,
there was no way to promote except.
Oh no, no, you had to travel. I mean, well, I'll tell you something else that now, over the last, I'd say, 2 to 3 years, Weldon was finally getting credit for. And it's
okay.
A huge, huge deal. Huge deal. The one thing, and it was probably one of the biggest things that he never got credit for, was discovering the Jackson 5.
Wow.
Or helping the Jackson 5 get to Motown. Weldon did that. He sure
you know,
did.
That
now,
is... Mm-hmm. That's phenomenal. I mean, you know, and I, it shows you how essential time is, right, brother? Because you had mentioned last time that you wanted so bad to have this man to provide us with some information, and you know, unfortunately, that's just how time gets away from us. You know,
it really does. And let me just say this also, because this is very important. If you have someone that you care about or that you love, please, please, by all means, if you feel you need to call them or reach out to them when the moment hits you to do so, please do it.
Right.
Because you never know when you won't have that chance again.
Right, exactly.
So please, by all means, reach out to those people that you feel that you know, when they're on your mind, reach out to them, get in touch with them, and look after them. Or just call them and say, hey, I'm thinking about you today. Because, believe it or not, it makes all the difference in the world.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you and I really, you don't know this, but we have a somewhat similar background. I understand you have a real closeness with your grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was raised till I was like 14 by my grandmother and great grandmother, and see, that's
wonderful.
Why you got that old soul.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I got that from my grandfather, who
right.
was the dominant male figure in my life, and
right.
you know, being that I wanted to impress him, you know, you always want to impress that person. When I was
right.
very, very young. So, you know, he was listening to Bobby Blue Bland, Johnny Taylor, and ZZ Hill.
Right, right.
Little Milton and all these people. So that's what I did, you know.
And it
makes you different because you have to understand, you know, when I was starting school, the people who were popular were Kool Moe Dee and
right.
Big Daddy Kane and Salt and Pepper. And Will Smith was just hitting the scene at that time. And here you have
Rakim.
Somebody, right, and
uh-huh.
here you have, and this is, when I'm talking 6, 7, 8 years old, and here
mm-hmm.
I am talking about Johnny Taylor, Little Milton, Bobby Blue Bland, B.B. King, you know.
Right.
So I mean, you know, it made for an interesting childhood, but I wouldn't take it back for anything in the world, because I learned
absolutely.
So many wonderful things that made me who I am and what I do today.
Oh, absolutely. You know that
yeah.
that you know that familiarity with that generation of the elders. I wasn't near as inquisitive as I should have been. I got stories from my great grandmother. From you know, I think she was born in 1894, and I have a few stories, but not near as many as I wished I had, you know, accumulated when she was. You know, lucid and everything. I tell you, but you know, with your grandfather providing you that kind of impetus to involve yourself in the music, and you know what, you didn't just stop knowing the songs. I mean, the research that you do and the information that you've accumulated over the years is to me very impressive, and it's inspiring and it's enjoyable for me. And, you know, you were saying, I interrupted you, excuse me, but you were saying that Mr. Weldon Arthur McDougal.
Weldon Arthur McDougal III.
Mm-hmm. You said that he had a lot to do with the Jacksons.
Yes.
Would you continue with it? Right.
Yeah, they as it happened at that time, Weldon was working for Motown as the one of the head promotion guys. And I believe at this point, the Jackson 5 were performing at the Regal Theater in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And they won some type of a contest that the theater was holding at that time. And they got a hold of Weldon. Well, as the story goes, they accept the story goes, which is true, Bobby Taylor was the one that introduced them to Motown. And that, to a point, is true, because he was the one. See, what a lot of people don't know is Bobby Taylor actually had them signed as artists individually.
What?
As a group. Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers. How Motown got the Jackson 5 was they had to buy out Bobby Taylor's contract on them.
Business.
That's how Motown got them.
Mm-hmm.
But Weldon was how they got to Bobby Taylor.
Hmm.
You know.
Right.
One of the first people that Joe Jackson caught up with was Weldon.
Hmm.
And he told him, hey, go see my man Bobby Taylor. You know, I like what you're doing. And he brought them to the attention of Bobby Taylor. Bobby Taylor, in turn, brought them to the attention of Motown. Now, when the Jackson 5 became a hit,
mm-hmm.
I would say around about 69, that's when ABC came out.
Right.
One of the first big hits, if not the first big hit they had.
Mm-hmm.
It was presented as, it said, like the first album or the first single, something said, Diana Ross presents the Supremes. Diana Ross presents the Jackson 5.
Ah, okay.
Well, what happened was, and that's the way everybody knows them, everybody thinks that Diana Ross discovered them.
Mm-hmm.
Diana Ross didn't actually have anything to do with the group until she presented them to the public for the first time.
Wow.
It wasn't that mm-hmm. she had anything to do with the founding or discovering the group. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Diana Ross had no part in that. That was all mm-hmm. Weldon McDougal and Bobby Taylor.
Unsung hero.
But the guy who got that going was Weldon McDougal. He also had a great deal in getting Soul Train off the ground.
With Don
Cornelius, yeah. He helped Soul Train go from a local school in Chicago to national syndication in L.A. by helping them get some of the first big acts that they had, which at that time was a group called The Undisputed Truth. For those who remember the song Smiling Faces Sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
And a week after Weldon got the Undisputed Truth, James Brown did the show. Once James Brown did the show, all it took got picked up. But there's so many stories that I could tell, about Weldon and what he did. And these are some of my favorites. For those who are familiar with the group MFSB.
Right.
You know, they did the Soul Train theme song. You know, they the
right, MFSB.
Right, you know, with TSOP, the Sound of Philadelphia, was the song.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the nucleus of MFSB was Norman Harris, Carl, Ronnie Baker, and Earl Young. Well, here's how it happened. And the first great guitarist that came out of Philly, out of that whole period, was a guy by the name of Roland Chambers. Well, when Weldon first caught up with Norman Harris, and if you look at anything in the early 70s on to the late 70s, early 80s, everything Norman Harris, Earl Young, and Ronnie Baker touched turned to gold. I mean, they were just super musicians, super producers. But how
wow.
they got started, Norman Harris was sitting on the stoop in Philly and said, you know, he was sitting there, and Weldon walked up to him and said, "Hey, man, you know, I'm just learning to play guitar. I'm taking lessons from a guy by the name of Roland Chambers." And he said, "Well, that's fine. You know, I can't get Roland anymore anyway. What, would you like to play for me?" And Norman said yes. And being that he was so young at the time, Norman's mother came up to Weldon and said, "I want you to sort of look after my son because he has a bad heart." And oh, as Weldon said, you know, "I looked after him like he was one of my own." And he cultivated him and helped him with the lessons and used him on different sessions and what have you. Same thing happened with Earl Young and Ronnie Baker, the great bass player.
Wow.
MFSB. You know, Eddie Holman. You know, "Hey There Lonely Girl." Eddie Holman started out as a songwriter. He wasn't singing. So one day they were in the session, they were doing the session, and, you know, since Eddie was a songwriter and the lead singer of the person actually recorded the song was having trouble with the part, and Eddie sang it for him, and Weldon told him, "Hey, man, you sound pretty good. Why don't you sing it?" That's how Eddie started singing. I mean, but I think one of my favorite stories, and this, when he told me this, this just took me out. Eddie Kendricks, the legendary Eddie Kendricks of Temptations, had just left the Temptations in March of 1971. And it was a not so good time for Eddie because Eddie was thinking that the people, being the fans, didn't necessarily care for him or, you know, didn't think much of him unless he was with the Temptations. So Eddie wasn't feeling too good. And Eddie, at one point, Eddie actually thought about, you know, he wasn't going to sing anymore. So Eddie almost said, "Hey, man, I'm done with this." Because here's the thing. What a lot of people may not realize is when the moment Eddie left the group was when Just My Imagination just hit number one. So I don't know if there's any footage or, I take that back, there is footage of Eddie singing Just My Imagination with the group. That was the last hit he sang with them before he left. Phenomenal group. So Eddie had just left the group. Just My Imagination was number one on the charts.
Wow.
And Eddie was just despondent. So Weldon said to Eddie, because he was working as a promotion man and, as he said, director of special projects, he was going on a promotional tour, promoting some albums and things of that nature. He said, "Eddie, why don't you come with me?" And Eddie said, "Sure." After Eddie said, "Sure," Weldon called up the legendary DJ Frankie Crocker, you know, the rocker Frankie Crocker out of New York City.
The DJ.
DJ.
Right.
Weldon asked Frankie, "Hey, man, would you, I'm coming your way, would you mind if I bring Eddie Kendricks to the studio?" At that time, it was the most difficult interview to get. Frankie said, "Bring him on."
Oh,
man. So when Eddie got to the studio, they started playing all these Temptations records, and people started calling in.
Absolutely.
And they called in to encourage Eddie. "Eddie, we love you whether you're a Temptation or not. Eddie, keep singing. Eddie, we love you. Don't give up. Keep doing it. We're going to support you no matter what. Who are the Temptations?"
Oh.
All these types of things. It
got
to the point that Eddie broke down in tears and started crying. Because he didn't know the people felt that way about him. He thought just because he was a Temptation that they only cared about him because he was a Temptation. But the people told him they loved him. And because that happened, Eddie continued to sing. Eddie released not too long after that, "My People Hold On," that album. You know, "Keep On Trucking," "He's a Friend," and I'm not going by album, but Eddie's Love, Sweet Tenderoni, all that stuff came after that moment, and Eddie kept singing, and the rest is history.
Oh, wow.
But that happened because Weldon said, "Hey, man, Mm. Come on, stay with me.
Mm. Hold on just one second. Don't lose that thought, okay?
Sure.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
You got that thought? Hold on just one second. I want to say hello also to Miss Quiet Storm. She just came in the room. And again, I would say, hold on just one second, brother. Don't you get despondent on me over here. But Sister Indy Declare on daily 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Saturday. And Miss Quiet Storm, who just came in a few minutes ago, she's, I think, 9 a.m. Pacific. Let's see. I'll have to do it. 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. And this is she gives me this. And I mean, I have it written down from what she's given me, and I cannot make a – oh, Saturday. I got it. Saturday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. That's 9 a.m. Pacific Standard, 10 a.m. Mountain Standard, and 11 a.m. Central Standard. So, you know, you got some heavy hitters, ladies, listening to you, and Brother T.L. Harris. And I really appreciate them and their support. And also, let me say, Brother Alpha, he has a program, and Brother, he's on 2 p.m. Central Daylight or 3 p.m. Central Daylight. The Truth Network also, and Sister Janice Graham, she has a show that's on. Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard or 9 p.m. Central Standard. Janice, JaniceGraham. And you can, if you come to Blog Talk Radio, you can put their names in the search block and it'll give you all the information you need. Sister Navazor, NAVAXOR1. If you put her name in the search block at Blog Talk Radio, it'll give you all the information about her. She's on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And again, Brother Jay Early, JAYEARLEY. I don't have his information up, but you can put his name in Blog Talk Radio, the search, and it'll give you information on him and when the show's available. And what we have is a wonderful – I'm just – like the little tiny baby brother, maybe, of a wonderful group of individuals that I've grown very fond of since I've been associated with Blog Talk Radio. And who we have online with us tonight is my dear brother T.L. Harris, a young man who's down around the metro, and he's providing us with some information about entertainment well, I want to say our culture, which it is part of our culture. He does research and he has this information available, and I really, really appreciate him. And I'll tell you, some of the inspiration that I'm getting from listening to you is that what this Weldon Arthur McDougall III, is that right? The third?
Yes.
What he did in the past years was what we formally called now networking. And when you look at he having been associated, and not, I mean, there are probably others, but this individual you know very well, and wished I know for sure that you had taped interviews with him and everything, but unfortunately he passed away. Just, you said when?
Friday.
And that's such
that's
a shame.
Right.
And he would have been 74 years of age today. And Brother T.O. Harris. Brother T.L. Harris, I've grown to love this young man, and I really appreciate him and what he brings. And like I say, you know, we have the election, so I want you to remember that. That's November the 2nd, on or before. Please go vote, and you know who I support. But I will now turn it back to you, Brother T.L. Harris, if you will go ahead and continue your thought, if you don't mind, and please pardon me for interrupting you.
No problem. I was talking about Yes, I'm Ready earlier.
Right.
The song that Weldon produced. Let me tell you this. I thought this was very interesting. Weldon also sang background on that record. But let me tell you who also sang background
on
that. Yeah. Well, he was. I'll get into that a little later, but he was also a singer. He was a bass singer. But the other people who sang on that record with Barbara Mason and Weldon was Philadelphia legend Herb Johnson, who sang with a group called The Impacts.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, Mr. Kenny Gamble himself. For those
Kenny
who may not
Gamble.
Know the name, right. If you don't know the name Kenny Gamble by itself, then I'm sure you know the songwriting team Gamble and Huff.
Yes, that's okay. Yeah. I got he yeah. sung.
Oh
man!
Oh, Kenny
on.
Gamble. Kenny Gamble was an excellent singer. you know, and that's something a lot of people don't know. I asked Will one day because I never got to hear him sing, but Will, I said, if I had to ask you who Kenny would sound like or Mr. Gamble would sound like by himself, what singer would he put your mind in? And he said Brooke Bentley. And I thought that was interesting. So
right.
when you hear that, are you ready? When you hear that
in
that song, that's Weldon McDougal, Herb Johnson, and Kenny Gamble.
Right.
Singing on that record. And let me tell you how that came about. Weldon was in the studio putting the record together, and he needed some background singers to fill out, you know, the male counterpart to the lead that Barbara was singing.
Right.
So Kenny and Herb Johnson just happened to be walking through the studio. And Weldon asked them, hey, man, you want to come sing on this record? They said, sure. That's how it happened. and the part of the story that Weldon loves to tell.
Right place at the right
beginning,
time.
Right place at the right time. At the beginning of that song, you hear these wonderful strings at the beginning of the song. Well, there were only two guys that played violin on that record, and they gave you this big, big, bold, lush string sound. And there were two guys who played for the Philadelphia Philharmonic Orchestra.
Wow.
So formerly played for them. And these were two 80-year-old guys who had Stradivarius violins. And they played these Stradivarius violins on that record. Now, what you hear on Yes, I'm Ready, if you listen to all of like the Philly stuff, especially For the Love of Money, anything that has an intro for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes, where it's a large, lush Philadelphia intro with the strings and the horn, that stuff came off of Yes, I'm Ready because it was the first big hit, soul hit, out of Philadelphia. So you have another guy by the name of Joe Tarsia, who was the legendary engineer at Sigma Sound Studios in Philadelphia, to say that was the very first Philly soul record. Having said that, if that is the Philly first, the very first Philadelphia soul record, then Weldon McDougal III is the person who created the Philly sound.
Okay.
So not only that, but all of the people who got their start, you know, they all worked for Weldon. Kenny Gamble worked for Weldon before he started his own company, Gamble Records. Leon Huff worked for Weldon as a musician sometimes. Tom Bell, the producer Tom Bell, was an arranger for Weldon McDougal. All the musicians got their major break with him. Earl Young, Carl Chambers, Roland Chambers, Win Winford, Bobby Eli, Don Ronaldo, but all those guys, you know, got their start with him.
Right.
I'm
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I mean, but so when you look at the scope of it, at the very minimum, the Philly sound. There's a very good possibility that we wouldn't have For the Love of Money. We wouldn't have The Love I Lost, Bad Luck, Ain't No Stopping Us Now, See You When I Get There, You'll Never Find. Because all of these things were done under the Gamble and Huff and Tom Bell umbrella. Well,
wow.
They needed somebody to give them a start.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The person who gave them all these guys. It's not that, you know, he gave one or two of these guys their start. Every major producer, every major musician that built that Philly sound got their start with him.
You know, when you told me that information that you just gave, I was sitting here looking, and it was talking about assembled by record producers Kenny Gamble and Leon. The MFSB was a house band for the Philadelphia International Records label, and and it was talking about the who recorded the Sigma Sound, including O.J. Spinners, Blue Notes, Delphonics. This guy had been and had been involved with a tremendous movement in the American music culture. I mean, this
was a
phenomenal movement. What it suggests to me is that, you know, there are those of us who may seem, you know, insignificant, or who may seem, you know, that we're just out there on a, you know, out there on a limb or something, that we don't really know what phenomenal opportunities and possibilities that we have available to us. And
right.
You know, if we, you know what I'm saying? And it just exposing ourselves to other individuals who we might be able to join hands with and form these different networks and coalitions and so forth. I mean, you know, there is no real end to the potential impact that can be had, you know, when a person has, to my idea, an ability to, you know, the way I always look at it is some people have to see to believe, and some people can believe in order to see, to see to believe means I have to have it right here in front of me. But to have enough faith in what my efforts are suggests to me that eventually what I'm doing, who knows? I mean, it's just something that I enjoy, it's something that I like. It who knows the impact, the far-ranging and far-reaching impact that it can have as an inspiration and encouragement to other people who are sitting there like already who want to become it. But I, you know, Till Harris, I'm just saying that what you do, you know, whenever I have a chance to visit with you, and it's, you know, beyond the context of some of the venues that we find ourselves in at times, is my mind begins to soar. And even that, you know, and knowing how young you are, and I just want to encourage you, brother, that, you know, take as an example this old dude, 58 years old, and realize I was exposed to what got me started messing with this was I got a cousin, and he lives in a town, Weatherford, Texas. You know where that is? About 1971 or 2, I was 18, 19 years old. He took me to KNOK FM Studios in Cleveland, Texas. Okay? And I met a guy there named Bob Stewart. I don't know if you remember him, but he used to do the jazz show there at KNOK FM out of Dallas. And I saw this guy run a studio. I mean, you know, run a station. I saw him actually doing what he did. And, dude, I was so inspired and enthused that when I came back to West Texas, the little towns that I was in, there weren't hardly any little DJs around, you know. But I just had this insatiable desire that I wanted to do some little bit of DJ work. And
right.
I went to some radio stations, which was mostly country stations, right? And I try, you know, what they would do at that point would give you some teletype. They'd pull it off the AP wire and give it to you and have you read it, and then they would record you. And what they said was initially the town that I'm from, they told me, oh, you got a lazy tongue. All right. So anyway, I got transferred on my job, my real job, to another town, smaller than that town. Dude, I really don't know if I, but I will go this far to say that I was exposed to some individuals, which was happenstance, which is what you're talking about somewhat, you know, And right. This one guy suggested I go to the radio station, and they needed a warm body is what they call it. Just somebody to sit in the seat, stick the commercials in, you know, answer the phone, play requests, whatever. And the guy, which was a young man about my age, I was 28, I think he was 26 at that point, he hired me on the spot, gave me an opportunity to start working at a radio station. So I started playing music. Well, of course, they only let you play what they had in their little file there. And I would go to another town, larger town, and get connections where I could get better music. And so, dude, let me tell you, I just, you know, all I'm saying is this, if to sum it up, to not interrupt you any more than I already have, is that people have no idea what their content is. And, you know, just like it takes an ember to start a forest fire, you know, it starts with a spark. That little ember that you provide by the information that you're giving us and sharing with us, there are people, individuals, like my cousin that introduced me, he has a record, and I'll play it for you some of these days. His band did, and it did pretty good because it's on YouTube right now. But anyway, he has two sons that played, and I don't know. You remember Dr. Rock?
Yeah,
down there in
yeah.
Dallas. Dr. Rock mm-hmm. put one of his sons under contract, and this is one thing that kids need to know. And you know, I don't give this information as a professional, so you need to seek legal advice. But
mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't have mentioned this guy's name. But anyway, you can get under contract with someone, and they can literally hold you and not promote you. You know what I'm saying? And so you be very careful. But there are a lot of talented individuals out there, and I would encourage, you know, we listen to karaoke and all this different kind of stuff, and I've heard some very talented individuals in karaoke in the rooms, you know, the places that we frequent sometimes.
Yeah.
And so what you do that you don't realize for me is that you open up those avenues in my mind that allow me to explore different aspects of my personality that previously I didn't even realize necessarily that I had.
Right.
So
right. Well,
you get what I'm saying?
Well,
so
you know,
you just
I'll tell
go
you
right ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah. Oh, no problem. See, what you just said, you know, that's what Weldon did for me.
Right.
Because I don't think there was a job in the music business that he didn't do. You know, the songwriter, A&R guy, promotion man, record label owner, music publisher, all those jobs he's done. You know, he's been in Barry Gordy's shoes, and he's been the recipient of those who've made bad decisions in the music industry. And, you know, if you can't learn from a guy like Weldon McDougal or anybody who has had that much experience in the business, then you can't learn.
Right, right.
I mean, because, and not just Weldon, but anybody who has some age on them.
Right.
If you live a pretty good amount of time, you know, you picked up some things along this line. You know, what to do, what not to do, what to watch out for, what not to watch out for. And when someone of a certain age tells you to watch your step in this next move,
mm-hmm.
then
yeah.
it's in your best interest to watch your step in this next move. It's
Absolutely.
It's not about someone trying to step on your shoes and trying to take away from your glory.
Right.
That's not what it's about at all. If I've been there and I see that you're going down that road.
Right.
And I know what it's like before you even, I know what you're going to do 5 steps ahead before you know what you're going to do.
Absolutely.
Then it's in my best interest to help you so you won't make the same mistake I made. And I think a lot of times you have, and I'm not saying all cases, or I'm not even saying the majority of the time, but
mm-hmm.
I do believe you have some individuals
mm-hmm.
of in this generation who when advice is given to them on what to do or what not to do,
mm-hmm.
you know, they get very defensive.
Yeah.
And say, well, you know, that's okay, I can do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
And when they when someone of age tells them exactly what's going to happen,
right,
because they didn't listen, when it actually happens that way,
right,
then they're all up on their shoulders, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
they don't want to hear it because they're scared of an "I told you so." And it's not
you
so
know,
much an "I told you so,"
right,
as it is "I'm looking out for you."
You know what, brother? Let me tell you, I have a couple of my oldest grandson is 18 and my oldest granddaughter is 17. And you know, my younger daughter, she just started teaching here not too long ago. But anyway, she we were discussing things, and I'm telling her, talking about the two youngest grandkids I have are 3 and 4. That you have to provide them the information necessary that they can they have a mind that's open to examining things. Teach them how to examine. Teach them how to accept and not be offended. And because I had to learn that way. I mean, when you raise around people that are I'm a kid. And I'm around my grandmother was probably about 40, and my great grandmother was probably about 50. I didn't have much of a say so I had to learn. I had to listen, but I want and I try to tell my baby girl to take your time and give them a reason. Show them you got to spend time with them and show them how to navigate, navigate this world. Because, there is all kinds of information that can be provided to us. And it may come from some of the most unsuspecting sources. You know,
right.
You know, I never, when I was growing up, there were guys that people called winos.
Mm-hmm.
And, I learned a lot. From those guys, but the thing of it was that I would look at them and tears would almost come into my eyes because I had no idea what they went through to get them to where they were. What kind of a thing could have happened to those guys that put them in a position where that they were so vulnerable? And I mean, it was like, and I listen and I try not to interrupt you because you inspire me to think of other things. Give you one for instance. There was a guy, which that was one of my ex-father-in-laws, and he had 8 children. He worked in the field plowing for this guy, and the guy didn't pay him, and he had to feed his 8 kids. And he found the guy, and the guy was playing dominoes in a little country Texas town and told him, "Why are you following me around? I told you I'll pay you." And, I mean, people don't understand, but he never turned into that type of, that he didn't adapt that type of behavior pattern. But, he wasn't as fruitful as he would have been had he been exposed to a different situation. And
right. When
you look at these guys, there's a history behind someone having some difficulties in their life. And so, but I say this, I said that to say this. If a person has an opportunity to spend some time, with children or whatever, or, have a venue like this venue or any other venue where you can share information with them that they can be open-minded enough. And there are those individuals who don't have a child's best interest at heart. But there are any number of individuals who have a tremendous compassion for people who are having difficulties and problems. And they will, lend some information or encouragement or whatever is necessary in order for that person to be uplifted and inspired to reach higher heights, And I'm going to say this right quick. And then Brother Alpho came in a minute ago, Brother Alpha. He's also in there in the chat room, and thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys. Sister India Declare is in there, and Miss Quiet Storm is in there. My brother T.L. Harris is on the phone, a young man out of the Metroplex, and we were talking some musical history, and he always gets me going. And this is the next phase with Ice and Friends, and you can give us a call if you choose to at 347-945-7040. We come on about 7 p.m. on Thursdays, and Brother T.L. Harris, you have to please pardon me for interrupting you. And please, it's not out of disrespect. It's totally because you spurred some thoughts in my mind. And with that said, may I give you the mic back and let you continue on. I really appreciate you, sir. Thank you for being here.
Oh, no problem. Well, I'm glad to be here. I just wish that the circumstances were a bit more joyous.
Right.
The ones that we're facing now. Another quick story, one of my favorites. I was talking to Weldon one day, and I told him about this story. I said, you know, Weldon, there was this guy I always wanted to know the story about how Solomon Burke got to Atlanta.
Right.
And, we recently lost Solomon Burke.
Yeah.
I said, Weldon, the story goes, there was a guy that went with him to the office, and this guy went to drop off some demos, and Jerry Wexler and Burt Burns, at the moment, these two guys walked up and dropped off the demos, were actually listening to a demo of Solomon Burke, making up in their mind they have to go get this guy. So I'm telling Weldon, I said, Weldon, I've always wanted to meet the guy who took Solomon Burke to Atlantic. And Will told me, you're talking to him.
Wow.
Now,
that has
been
a deal over you, man.
You have to understand. I was just talking to Will, and at that time, I just really, really got into Solomon Burke, and who we just lost 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon Burke passed away.
Absolutely,
on the 10th of October.
And may God rest his soul and condolences to his family.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I got a very good friend of mine from Chicago named James Newborn. We had, you have to understand, we were sitting up talking for hours about who this guy was.
Mm.
So when Weldon told me you're talking to him, I about lost it. I was like a kid in a candy store. I became what I always said I wouldn't be. Which is the Gaga Goo Goo fan, all that kind of stuff.
Hello?
And hello?
Hey, brother, you here?
Yeah. I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Can you hear me, Brother T.L.?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
There, now I have you. Okay.
Okay, yeah. But you have to understand, I became the thing I said I wasn't going to be, which is this Gaga Goo Goo fan, Mr. Google, all that kind of stuff. I said I wasn't going to do that. But when he told me that he was the guy that got Solomon Burke to Atlantic, that did it for me. Because up until that point, I was not talkative. I was very shy around him because he had this aura of legend around him to me. And from that day on, we hit it off and became best friends. And, and here's the interesting thing, and this will always burn in my mind. The day they laid Solomon Burke to rest was the very same day that Weldon passed away.
Wow. Wow.
And I said to myself, it's just insane because,
right,
here's the guy who is considered Solomon Burke, one of the greatest soul singers of all time.
Oh, absolutely.
And not too long, here's the funny thing about it. And I just sat back and I couldn't do anything but laugh when Weldon told me this. He was having a conversation with Solomon Burke not too long after he told me that he was the one that was with Solomon when he got the contract to Atlanta.
Mm.
And Solomon called him. And the conversation between these two legends to me went like this. "Hey Solomon, hey Weldon, how you doing? Everything fine? Hey man, I just wanted to let you know that you're the legend." "Oh man, no, not me. You're the legend." "No man, you're the legend." "No, not me. You." These two guys are going back and forth over which one of them is a legend.
Hmm.
And I'm sitting here thinking, well, if I have a vote, can I say both of you are? And let's just call it a day. Because when you think about everything that both of them have done, you know, I mean, and I did get a chance to talk to Weldon about this before he passed, because I brought this up to him, because we were talking about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I said to him, because they now have a category of like record execs and producers and things of that nature.
Ah, okay.
People, they weren't sidemen, so they didn't play instruments, and they weren't artists, but people who had a huge impact on the industry. I said, "Well, then, you know, if I had my way, you would be inducted because of everything you've done into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame." You know, and I told him as much, you know.
Right.
You know, and I said in no uncertain terms, Berry Gordy would not be enjoying the success he has today were it not for you. And the same can be said for the estate of Marvin Gaye, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles, the Four Tops, and, you know, Duke, who's still living, the Temptations, and Otis, who's still living. Because he made all those records very famous. He was the one that went out and promoted the records. You know, somebody had to do the legwork, and it was him. Not only that, but when he went home, he went and started an entire sound that became huge and popular in the 70s.
Wow.
Now, that alone, in my opinion, merits somebody who deserves to be inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Now, I said, I mean, and I made this wonderful case to Weldon about himself. And he said, "TL, hey man, I'm not looking for it to happen. You know, if it happens, great. But you know, I know what I did."
Right. Wow.
You know,
yeah.
But the most important thing is me talking to people like you and there are a couple of other friends of mine that he spoke to and a lot of other people who you know, nobody knows their names, but we all know his story.
Right.
So it's up to everybody and those who hear this, because I'm going to send this to some friends of mine, and this is my challenge to them. To everybody that Weldon has shared his life and his experience with, it's up to us to keep that legacy alive. Because there are not many Weldon McDougals out there. he was one of a kind dude, but there are guys who are unsung in the music industry who do not get the attention they deserve, or you know. Or the
right.
credit that they should get. And, you know, for us who are still here, who have, you know, their memory, you know, that it's up to us. So for
right.
all of us who well, let us keep his memory alive and what he did, and hopefully we can do something great with this information.
No
I really
doubt.
Believe that.
No, it's no doubt. You know what? I took the leisure while I'm talking with you to look up this man, WLDONMCDOUGAL III.
Yes.
And you know, I tell you, I'm just, you know, looking at some of the information about him as you were speaking, and
mm-hmm.
and again, you know, this is like for me, it's from a distance that I'm having a chance, would love to have had the opportunity to have, you know, had that experience of speaking with him like you have, man. Should I say I envy you? No, I can't say I envy you, but I just
right.
tremendously admire you for that opportunity, you know, and I really appreciate you sharing that information. And, you know, like I said, anything that I can do, we can do whatever. let me know. We'll do whatever we can do to commemorate Mr. Wellen McDougal III. Wellen Arthur McDougal III. And so whatever you know, you come up with something and we'll do the best we can to assist you. And, you know, as small as I am, we'll do whatever I'll do whatever I can to help you, brother. I appreciate it.
Well, hey, you know, when it comes to doing something for somebody's memory, for somebody who was so important, nobody is too small, trust me. Not one soul. So thank you for wanting to participate in those efforts, and I will definitely keep you updated on you know, what's happening with that. And if there's something that can be done, you will be the first to know.
Well, I really appreciate it. Like I say, brother, you got a standing. You have a standing invitation, and so, you know, just any time. And I'm glad. I'm grateful that you. You know, we had scheduled. When did you tell me this? Was it last month? I said
the third week in October, I believe.
Yeah, that's what you told me. The third week in October. And I said, yeah, I was trying to get you on that week, and it was like, oh man, okay. So, and I didn't realize, you know, but I'm just really grateful that you shared, that you had a time. And like I say, you know, any time, and we'll be, you know, we'll be doing this, you know, whenever you feel like it, because I'm always, you know, ready. And you know, because we, you know, the thing of it is that if someone's listening and they may hear this particular conversation, they may not realize that we've had conversations that address several other groups, several other legacies, but this I know is prominent and dominant in your memory, considering the fact that it's so fresh and that was such a good friend. And this is why that I really appreciate you sharing this. And like I say, the my observation from afar is the man was a supreme individual as far as being able to network, being able to be a connecting force that would allow others, you know what I'm saying?
So, well, let me say this also, because I've mentioned a lot of his great accomplishments.
Right.
And he's had many. I mean, he's been in the business for almost 60 years now.
60, wow.
But let me
wow.
say this.
60 years, man.
Well, he absolutely. But my thing
Hello,
is.
Hello, you still here, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I think we lost connection with you there for a moment, but I'm hoping that it'll do the way that it's done before. And that
okay,
is,
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I sure can.
All right. Okay. There's one thing I have to say, because like I said earlier, I spoke about Wellen, the man, Wellen, the legendary figure, Wellen, you know, the businessman. And let me say this about Wellen, the man, Wellen, the person. As I shared with you and I shared with those on Power Talk, I mentioned, you know, when my grandfather passed away a year ago this month.
Oh, sorry.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first people, I will never forget it, one of the first people that reached out to me was Wellen McDougal.
Wow.
I was on my way to my grandfather's house to get some things ready for the ensuing week, which was very difficult for my family and myself.
Right.
And I'll never forget, it was October 14th, actually. And he
wow.
called me as I was on the way to my grandfather's house and said, "Hey, TL, I'm sorry to hear about what happened with your grandfather, man. I feel like I knew him, you know, and I just want to let you know if there's anything that I can do, man, I'm here for you." And you know, that to me,
right,
was Wellen the man,
right, exactly.
And we've had a great deal of personal conversation, just like we had conversations about his time in the industry and the business.
Mm-hmm.
But it's those personal conversations and the words of inspiration. And I didn't say it all, of course, but the words of inspiration that he gave to me when my grandfather passed away, that to me sticks out in my mind more than him discovering the Jackson 5 or him,
right?
You know, creating the Philly sound, because that's Wellen the man.
Right.
If you strip
right.
the business away from him, if you take every accomplishment he ever made in his life as far as
as the industry,
mm-hmm.
that's still what Weldon would have done because that's the type of man he was. And that is what I'll take with me. And that's what I want people to also know as well. Just as much as he was a legend, he was a wonderful person and a very good friend.
You know, it that is a legacy that I personally I'd like to leave. You know, as that, you know, regardless to whatever, you know, meager accomplishments that I've made in my life, I would hope that one of the things that I've done would be to have touched someone to the point where that they were encouraged and inspired. And, you know, to say that about him, to hear you say this about him, you know, it makes me, you know, really search myself and continue to look inside of me on a personal level and ensure that I do as best I'm able to. And it makes you try to find, to me, to bring forth that better person inside of you. You know what I'm saying? It's phenomenal. And I really, you know, we pass, what do you call it, angels unaware?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You know, we see them probably every day, and
mm-hmm.
you know, but I mean, maybe not to this level, but I mean, this
mm-hmm.
is, wow, this is, you know, it's really an awesome feeling, man, when you know, when you stop and get away from the day-to-day and you think about in the helter-skelter world of promotion and this group and this excellent group and this hit and making that next appointment, that a guy can take a moment and speak to a friend who's obviously in distress and offer them, you know, words of condolence and try to console them, and as well as provide them, you know, a pathway that they can console family members and so forth. And that's so unselfish, you know. It could have
Absolutely.
Been all about him, you know. But
And it very well could have.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like if you made it about him, he refused it.
Right.
I mean, now how incredible is that, that when you make it up, or you try to make it about yourself, or somebody tries to make it about you,
right.
you make it about the people that helped you get to where you are.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean,
right.
And hey, he was the best of the best.
Right. And you know, he leaves that legacy, you know, for all of us, you know, for you know, those who, you know, there are other people who may inspire other people. There are other situations or circumstances or, you know, moments or whatever. But in this particular instance, I want to tell you again that I really appreciate you. You know that, brother. I'm going to just be honest with you. You know I don't mess around. You know I can say what I have on my mind. And,
Absolutely.
You've heard me before, so. But, I, you know, dude, you know I appreciate it, T.L. Harris. I really appreciate it. And, you know, and it's deeper. You know, like I say, the next time we made no telling where we'll go, you know, or what topic, because this is just so fresh on your mind. And especially when you
yeah.
associate it with that grandpa that had such a just a phenomenal and tremendous and significant impact on you. And
right.
There is no way. That the two are really closely associated.
Well, both of them, and I'm not making this up, both of them were great people, and both
mm-hmm.
of them have that major, major impact on my life. I will
mm-hmm.
carry Weldon around with me the same way I carry my grandfather around with me.
Right.
Because Weldon was that kind of cat. And let me just say this as well. I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Dude, please.
To speak about him like this, because, you know, like I said, it is, I mean, he just passed on Friday, and today would have been his birthday. I would have been talking to him and calling him and wishing him a happy birthday today, were he still here.
Isn't that something?
You know, I would, because I did that every year, you know, as long as I've known him.
Right.
And, you know, so I would, that's what I would be doing probably right now, you know.
Isn't that something?
you know. And you know, it's weird because this is the first time since 2004 that I haven't done that.
Right.
You know, so it's an interesting experience, and it's something, you know, and this is the thing. Well, it always said that, you know, I'm not going to be here forever.
Right.
But he was one of those people that you just blew it off. Yeah, you're going to be here because you're welcome, you know. Because you always have that person that you mm-hmm. feel is going to be around forever, or that you feel is invincible. I mean, you know, cognitively and intellectually, you know that's mm-hmm. not the case because we all have to make that journey. But they just give you this feeling that, you know, they're going to be here for a very long time.
Right.
And he was one of those people, you know. And so he, I'm telling you, just as sure as the truth is right now, I was told of his passing by Caesar Berry of the group The Times.
Get out of here!
Yeah, I know you remember. I know you remember the song "So Much in Love."
Yeah.
You Little Trustmaker and Miss Grace and all those songs. And Caesar called me. And told me that Weldon had passed because through this whole thing with Weldon, Caesar and I had become close.
Right.
And through this, I got a chance to speak to Joe Harris of The Undisputed Truth.
Yeah, that. Dude.
And I was smiling and I was laughing about this because I said only Weldon. Only Weldon could make it possible for me to reach out to Joe Harris and Caesar Berry.
Hey, brother, hold that thought, okay? I'm going to tell you why. We got a call through, and I'm going to put them on, okay?
Okay.
All right. Hold on just a second. 484, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello? Hey.
Yes.
How are you?
Hello.
Is this who I think it is?
I don't know who you think it is.
Miss Rabia? Is that you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sophia, you know who this is?
Indeed, I do. Indeed, I do. How are you?
I just had a question. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
That's good. I just have a question because I know that you're pretty knowledgeable when it comes down to, you know, in the music industry. But what was it that is driving you? Because I know at some point people kind of drop off, you know, from being into the music, especially the history of it. So what is it that keeps you driven? I look at your way messages, and that's why I'm just keeping up on, you know, all the things that are going on, especially with the history. So what is it that drives you?
You know, I'm glad you asked me that question. I don't know if I've ever really been asked that question before. I think the thing that keeps me enjoying what I'm doing as far as keeping, you know, the history of the music alive is people like Weldon and people who are of an older age who are leaving this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want these guys to leave without this generation, the generation I was born in, giving them their just due.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that bothers me to no end. I hate to see an award show, and I'll give you an example. One of my all-time favorite groups, I believe both of you know this, I love this group to death, it's the Four Tops.
Mm-hmm.
When they received their Lifetime Achievement Award Grammy in 2009, you had Neo, Jamie Foxx on stage with Smokey Robinson and Duke Fakir, the last surviving member of the group. And when I watched their performance, not just because it was the Four Tops, but the way it was done deeply disturbed me. Here you have two bona fide legends in Duke Fakir
and Smokey Robinson, both members and inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you have Ne-Yo and Jamie Foxx, who couldn't give you a rundown of the history of the group.
Hmm.
There's a disconnect to me with that. I'm like, really, fellas? I mean, is this the way you? I mean, to paraphrase a song by the Four Tops. And I think the thing that keeps me going in this manner is somebody has to be the keeper of the gavel.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that drives me is there are so few people who are trying to be the keeper of the gavel. Because to
right.
me, the history of it, if you just get into it, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be so easy to stay into it if it were boring. But our history is a lot of things. But the last thing our history is, and this is not just music, but this is political, this is cultural. The last thing our history is boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had way too many turns and crooks and you know, forks in the road for it to be boring.
Right.
So if you take the time to not only learn the history, but pay proper homage to these people, then it keeps you going because it makes you want it. It makes you want to you know, present yourself better. It makes you want to treat yourself better because there's a standard to follow. You know, I've been talking about wellness for the past hour, and there's a standard to follow with him. You know, there's a standard to follow with some of the great songwriters. I think about some of the great songwriters. Smokey Robinson stands out in my mind. A guy by the name of Don Davis, who used to write for Johnny Taylor and a lot of the groups and acts that came out of Detroit. Tony Hester, who was a songwriter in the early years for the Dramatics. You know, these guys, when they wrote lyrics to the songs like "Hey, You Get Off My Mountain," "Here I Go Again" by the Miracles, "Holland, Dozier, Holland." Not only did they write "Stop in the Name of Love," but they also wrote "Give Me Just a Little More Time" by Chairman of the Board, who, you know, General Norman Johnson, lead singer of that group, just recently passed away no more than a week and a half ago. So, you know, when you think about the lyrical content, and we'll just take this as an example. If you take a song like "The Makings of You," add a little sugar, honeysuckle, and a great big expression of happiness, boy, you couldn't miss "With a Dozen Roses," "Such With a Style on You," "The Joy of Children Laughing Around You." These are the makings of you. It is true, the makings of you. Would I really want to go out and call another sister the B word after I listen to something like that?
That's a good point.
You know, brother T.L., let me thank you. Let me break in right quick, and I only want to do this for this particular reason. Again, I want to thank Sister India and Brother Alpho, who was here earlier, and he's been having some technical difficulties. I hope everyone hasn't been. And I also want to thank Ms. Quiet Storm, who's been here, and Sister Rabia Ahmed, and with her SMART, S-M-A-R-T program, Single Mothers Are Really Trying. And if you can, do you mind if I allow her to, if I might ask her a couple questions?
Not at all.
Oh, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Sister Rabia, how are you doing? How's everything?
I'm doing well.
Am I to understand that there may be the potential for a fundraiser coming up here pretty soon? I never got an email about it, but I'm asking so.
Yeah, I thought I did send you one, but yeah, we have a fundraiser coming up. It's January the 16th. It's the day before the celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday.
Okay.
It's a talent show. We're
Whoa.
Trying to raise money to open up this treatment center for single women with children and one of the things that we stay focused on is while the women are in treatment, that they have to have their children with them. They cannot go through treatment without their children.
So now let me ask you this, and this is a beautiful segue to from what the inspiration that Brother T.L. was talking about, and as far as the impressions that were made upon him by Brother Weldon McDougall, but Weldon Arthur McDougall III. Would you please give us a brief, just a synopsis of the title, the significance of it, what the program is, and you know you're welcome anytime. I think I've made that real plain to you, right?
Yes.
So I'm just wondering whenever there'll be a good time to schedule you. But anyway, would you give a brief synopsis of what you're doing and where you're located, and if you have any contact information that we might be able to provide?
Yes, I I'm nervous.
Are you really? Tia, you think, what should we do? Tia, she's nervous.
Well, I think she's doing a wonderful job so far, me personally. I think she should continue, and what she's doing is so important. So absolutely.
Well, it's a nonprofit organization that I have. Single mothers are really trying. It really started from years ago watching my parents help women, house women, help them in all type of aspects. And just throughout the year, I'm just taking it to another level with, trying to find affordable housing for them, treatment, especially for the women that have been stricken with the drug abuse,
mm-hmm.
and their children, watching them go through this transformation, going from one extreme to another in regards to the drug abuse and what it does to them mentally. So I thought that it would be a great idea while they're in treatment, trying to better themselves. Would it be fair for the mothers to go through treatment and not for the children to get any help as well?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're just raising money, trying to get these women and children into a safe house, where it's affordable and therapeutic. There's a program called TC, Therapeutic Community,
mm-hmm.
where the women and the children live together and they each other hold each other accountable.
Right. Right.
Throughout their everyday living. And it has
mm-hmm.
worked in so many other places and countries that this is what we're trying to do amongst so many other things, but this is what we're focused on right now.
Right. And let me reiterate. SMART, single mothers are really trying. And what you do actually it's an organization that you personally started as a result of having
mm-hmm.
been positively influenced by your parents. And mm-hmm. and what you're doing is allowing mothers to stay with their families and where each one is a holistic treatment pathology
mm-hmm.
is I'm trying to understand that would allow the children to learn different skills, as well as the mothers to learn and reassess, readapt, and recommit, and determine that they will be successful through the programs that you and your organization are going to be providing.
Yes,
that's correct.
One of the main things. It's so many things. I could never really talk about it in 10 and 5 minutes, but.
I hope. Are you coming back?
I'll be back to finish this one part. One of the things that I like that we focus on is for the women and the children to change their way of thinking. Because
right.
in order for people to change their behavior, they have to change their way of thinking, So we're really big on that as well, because
right.
how else can you change if you don't change your thinking, So that's something that we talk about and we implement a lot in our treatment sessions. I just wanted to say that.
Let me, Brother T.L., you still with us? Brother T.L. Harris. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me let you... I'm sure maybe that you might be able to elicit some information that might be relevant and pertinent, and I really would appreciate it if you would go ahead and speak with Sister Rabia, and I'll give you a moment to gather some thoughts. And again, I'll say this is the next phase with Ice and Friends, and these are two of friends that I've met over the last several, say, years or months or whatever. And I've really appreciated them, as well as we have an in-house, Sister Andy DeClaire. And also we had a Brother Alpho and also Miss Quiet Storm. So, Brother T.L., I'll let you go ahead and close us out. We got about 5 minutes, and any information that you choose to solicit from my dear sister, Miss Rabia, I'll just listen, if you don't mind. You ready?
Sure. Well, the first thing I want to do, this is something, again, that I have to say. October has been Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. know anybody who has suffered through this disease, or if you've lost someone as a result of this disease, please mm-hmm. support this cause. It's a very, very important cause. I support this cause for my mother, who is undergoing treatment for breast cancer and is
God bless her. God bless her, brother.
So, you know, anybody who is going through this situation, please support them and do what you can.
Yes. Yes.
In this battle, because it is very important, it is very vital, and most importantly, it does not just affect women. Over 2,500 men a year are affected. They're either diagnosed or they pass away with this disease. Mm. So let's support this cause, men and women, because it doesn't just affect women. It affects men, and the impact of the disease affects millions of families, not only across this country, but across this world. So please support breast cancer, be it your local hospital, your local foundation, a charity, and please continue to do so in that. So please support breast cancer. Also, once again, I just want to I didn't get a chance to say this earlier, but I wanted to say, I told you earlier that Weldon was a singer, and Weldon had a group called The Larks, and they did release several songs that they said was the song they released in 1961 called It's Unbelievable. And he was the bass singer. The Larks.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out, because there were three other groups called The Larks. There was Don Julian's group in Los Angeles, I believe, and they did a very big hit called The Jerk. There was Eugene Mumford's group out of Richmond, Virginia, and they did a song called My Reverie. And Weldon's group, of course, was from Philadelphia. So when you get a chance, check out the Philadelphia Larks. They're also known as the Four Larks.
You know what? I was on that page I told you a minute ago,
mm-hmm.
and I think I saw that name, but I'd
yes.
have to go back. Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at it again. But
that was his group. He wrote for that group. He sang for that group, and you know, just a very good person who is gone now. And to everybody, if you get a chance to go see some of these legends live. If they make new music, please go support it, go buy it, go see them, because you don't know when you're going to have that chance again.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
With that, I'm back.
You know what? I want to say I got 60 seconds, 1 minute before 8:30, which is 8:29. And Brother T.L. Harris, first off, thank you very, very much. And I'm hoping that I'm looking forward to you coming back sometime in the near future?
Absolutely. And once again,
all right.
Before the time goes, thank you for allowing me to do this and talk about Weldon for as long as I have.
You, I appreciate you being here. Thank you. Appreciate it. And Sister Rabia Ahmed, the individual who started SMART, Smart Women, Smart Mothers Are Really Trying. We're going to ask you to come back, and I'll get a date firmed up with you. So hopefully it'll be within the next few weeks.
Yes.
Hello?
Sure.
All right. Now
yes.
I got 10 seconds, so let me say thank you all for joining us. Blessings to you and your families. And Brother T.L. Harris, thank you, sir, so much. Sister Rabia, thank you so much. Sister Indy Declare, Brother Alpho, and Ms. Quiet Storm, and all the other individuals listening and who have participated in the program, really appreciate you being here. And with that said, we'll bid you all a wonderful and blessed good evening. And I hope you have an absolutely marvelous forever. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll catch y'all on the other side if y'all don't mind. That'd be okay?
Sure.
All righty. Thank y'all. Appreciate it.